painful blue. Water lilies glowed on it in thick constellations. Ink-black shadows underpinned the parkland trees. Swifts pushed through air so thick they hardly beat their wings against the breeze. These were the grounds of the school where White had taught, landscape gardens that had drawn tourists for hundreds of years. After an hour of walking past temples with fluted columns and painted doors, cupolas, obelisks, porticos and follies, I started to freak out. Nothing made any sense. Greek temples, Roman temples, Saxon gods on runic plinths starred with orange lichen. A vast Gothic temple in rouged ironstone. Palladian bridges, Cufa grottos and Doric arches. Nothing here seemed solid or understandable but the trees. The buildings littered the landscape, as if they'd been dropped by some crazed time machine, and all of them, I realized, were there to teach me a lesson. This was a landscape of aristocratic moral certainty, designed and built to lecture visitors of the dangers of modern vice and the ways of ancient virtue. It might have been the sun, it might have been incipient heatstroke, but I started to hate it. Here is the temple of British worthies. Look at them all. Ugh. I turned round and began to walk back to the car. I was feeling extremely sorry for White. This was a very beautiful place, and a marvellous lesson in the exercise of power, but I would have felt unreal here. Yes, I would have fled from it too. And I did. I fled from the school grounds. I got back in my car and drove and parked and then walked to the place where I had to go. There it was, White's cottage, Merlin's cottage, quiet on the ridings over the hill. It looked so ordinary, not a magical place at all. Black leaf shadows moved on its high gables. A grey horse grazed outside. Electric wires chased fence posts down the grassy slopes. The forest behind the house was still there, but not all of it. The dark wood where the hobbies had been had gone. Now it was Silverstone Racing Circuit, and the chapel where White had walked with Goss was long demolished. As Chapel Corner, it is just a curve on the track under which the long dead sleep. But as I stood there in the hot sunlight, there was a buzzing in my ears. It was the strangest sound, as if on that windless day I could hear the marine roar of wind in all the oaks. It was winter history, times receding, or possibly heatstroke. I wished I had brought some water. I stood for a long while and looked at the house. It was a private place. I did not want to get closer. I didn't want to intrude on the person who lived there. But I saw that the trees had grown, that the barn was now a garage. The well would still be there. And then I heard a chipping, scraping noise and froze. Behind a bush in the garden was a flash of white, a shirt. There was a man kneeling in the garden, bowed over the ground. Was he planting something? Weeding? Praying? I was far away. I could see his shoulders, but not his face, nor anything of him but his concentration. I shivered, because for a moment the man had been White, planting out his beloved geraniums. The feeling that White was haunting me had returned. I wondered if I should go and speak to this man. I could talk to him. He wasn't White, I knew, but there were people here who had known him still, and I could talk to them. The farmhouse was still there, and behind it the ponds where Goss had bathed and White had fished. Perhaps the same carp swam in them. I could find out more about him, make him alive again, chase down the memories here. For a moment, that old desire to cross over and bring someone back flared up as bright as flame. But then I put that thought aside. I put it down, and the relief was immense, as if I had dragged a half-ton weight from myself and cast it by the grassy road. White is gone. The hawk has flown. Respect the living, honour the dead, leave them be. I saluted the man, though he could not see me. It was a silly, wobbly salute, and even as I did it, I felt foolish. And then I turned and walked away. I left the man who was not a ghost, and I walked south. Over the bright horizon, the sky swam like water.
This concludes the reading of H is for Hawk by Helen MacDonald. Copyright 2014 by Helen MacDonald. This book was read by Helen MacDonald. This unabridged recording was published by arrangement with Grove Atlantic Incorporated and was produced in 2014 by Isis Publishing Limited, UK, which holds the copyright. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Audio, Inc. If you would like to obtain a monthly update telling you about new releases, call 1-800-SAY-BOOK. That's 1-800-729-2665. For a complete listing of our titles, visit our website at www.downpour.com. Thank you.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.